The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Shohei Ohtani hitting bombs, Jalen.
Must-see TV. You know what I mean? If you want to get Shohei updates, this is the place. Lucky Lefty, let's start the show.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people. They won.
The day is here. LeBron versus Steph. 7 versus 8. Play-in game is upon us. But we start with the Celtics and Jason Tatum with 50 points and a big win over the Wizards. Did not see this coming. What did you think of Tatum's performance last night?
I actually did see this coming. Because if you're going to be an all-NBA caliber performer and a future superstar, we know that you're playing without Jaylen Brown. We know the Celtics haven't met expectations. And for everybody guessing, we've been saying it on this show, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens are not on the hot seat. So you have a big stage. You're playing against the Wizards. Bradley Beal, your fellow guy from the Lose in town, Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double. The Boston Celtics still have a better roster, still have a better team. And Jason Tatum, that was his chance to prove who's the best player on the floor. Mm. And that's what he went out and performed like, putting up 50, catapulting his team into the playoffs to go against the Nets.
Tatum was the best player on the floor, and going into the game, you would expect maybe that'd be Bradley Beal, but he looked injured. Maybe that'd be Russell Westbrook. He didn't look right. And it also felt like the Wizards just couldn't hit a shot. You're not going to win a play-in game or a high pressure game when you cannot hit a shot. Jalen, what do you think was wrong with this Wizards team last night?
Well, a couple of those shots are wide open, and then a few of those shots are contested, but your overarching point still stands. You're not going to win an NBA play-in game and you only make 3 threes. Mm-mm. That's just how today's game is built. And so when Russ isn't making them and Bill isn't making them and then Bertans isn't making them and you're the Washington Wizards, you're just not going to win.
No, they now have to play the Pacers. We'll get to that. But this means that the Celtics will face the Brooklyn Nets in the 2-7 matchup.
Brooklyn?
That also means that Kyrie Irving will be playing his former franchise. Jalen, do you think there's a little extra motivation from Kyrie?
For Boston Celtics fans, Kyrie's the one that got away. Mm. You won when you traded him for Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah was giving them 30. And then they traded him to the Cavs while he was injured. And the Cavs accepted the trade still. And you got Kyrie, and he said he was going to stay. And then he left. So did Scary Terry. So did Gordon Hayward. So now you're trying to chase and fill the void through the draft, through trades, adding Fournier. And so now all of a sudden you get a chance to see Kyrie Irving up close and personal on the super team that he signed to first and brought along Kevin Durant. And then they added James Harden. So anticipate a lot of boos for Kyrie Irving by Celtics fans, but he's not going to hear them. You remember the first time he went back to Celtics, he was burning sage in the arena.
Oh, he's got sage. Oh, he went to Costco. He's got all. He's going to burn a whole tree before the first game in this series in the Garden. And I can't wait for it. And I do not expect this series to be very competitive. They're going to need a couple more 50-point games from Jason Tatum just to keep this going. Jalen, in the other playing game, not that competitive. Not that competitive at all. The Hornets were young, and they looked young in this one. The Pacers looked good, and they got contributions from everybody, including that guy, Sabonis. Do you think the Pacers can ride this momentum and make it into the playoffs?
You know what I saw from Indiana? Blue-collar pride. Mm. Sabonis flirted with a triple-double, but played a terrific all-around floor game. He got up from his nap yesterday and realized that Caris LeVert was going to be out due to COVID protocol. And Malcolm Brogdon returned. And so the Pacers went deep, deep, deeper than Atlantis inside of the box score. It got like eight guys in double figures.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had at least 10.
Against the Hornets. A dude wearing number 88 was out there getting
bucks. Batizé! That's my guy. And O'Shea Brissett. Batizé. Keelan Martin. These are not household names. These guys were not high draft picks that made all-star teams, and they were all contributing to combine. I think they got 144 points on this Hornets team that did look overmatched. But since this is the last Hornets game of the season, we have to salute and celebrate my rookie of the year, our king, one of one, LaMelo Ball. What a season this young man had. What do you expect from him moving forward?
So when you get a top flight pick, in particular in the top three, after their rookie year, you need that guy to have shown the players on the team, the coaching staff and the organization, fan base and the media, that he got the goods. And if you have that, it's just like having a quarterback in the NFL on their rookie deal. You saw Pittsburgh win it with Big Ben or Russell Wilson or even Joe Flacco. So now this offseason, the Hornets know that they got the goods in LaMelo, and they saw the improvement in Bridges. And P.J. P.J. Washington also had a really good season. You now have the building blocks to do something special because that guy with the basketball is dynamic as a playmaker, an improved three-point shooter, and so many people are going to want to come play with him. So shout to LaMelo Ball, the rookie of the year. Coach JB still did an amazing job with this roster, and the Hornets are coming in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, the Hornets have a lot to look forward to. It's very important to mention that Gordon Hayward was not available to them, not just in this game, but towards the end of the season, and he meant a lot to this team when he was healthy. Jalen, the day is here. It is finally upon us. Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, I'm staying up past my bedtime because we have LeBron versus Steph. The two superstars that faced off four times in the finals will now play in the first ever Western Conference 7-8 play-in game. Jalen, what is the roadmap for the Warriors to get an upset tonight?
I'm old enough to remember actually driving and the family taking trips using real maps. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and going to Bainbridge, Georgia to visit my grandfather, and we're trying to figure out a real map to drive 18 hours to go visit my family in the South. So I have that for you with Steph Curry, and it's not gonna be as difficult. You can actually use Waze for this one. He needs to make 10 plus threes.
Oof.
If that happens, the Los Angeles Lakers will be getting shot down in this game because he has proven to me that he can do it, and not only do it, at a frequency that no other player can even come close to matching. Look at this.
Not even close.
Look at this, everyone. That's 9-14, okay, to 22. He has more this year, 7 or 8, than all of those guys have had in their careers. And if he's able to capture one of those games tonight, because remember, in his last game, he shot 36 times, career high. He shot 22 threes, a career high. So he's going to shoot at least 20 threes. And 20 times 3, and I'm a dummy, that's a 60.
Oh, right? Look at you. I'm proud of you, Jay.
So he made half of those, that's 30. They'll be definitely close into the game if that happens. The Lakers are going to be switching those actions, those dribble handoff actions, double, triple teaming, those pick and roll actions, almost like that footage we saw earlier in the year. I think they're playing against the Thunder when he dribbled across half court and all five of them were standing there.
He's going to see a lot of defense
to be
like
doing
this.
Defensively.
He's
going to
see a lot of double teams and triple teams tonight, and I do not think there that Steph Curry himself will be able to shoot the Warriors into this one. I expect this to be a pretty easy win for the Lakers. I'm trying to go to bed early tonight, Lakers. So finish this one up.
You.
I want y'all up by half. By halftime,
they
I want you up 20. And then midway through the third, I want to go to sleep because I want to get my rest. And I think the Lakers will
they
not just
you.
Win this one, but win this one easily. And we had LeBron was out with Drake last last night. LeBron was partying with Drake last night. That's how confident these Lakers are. That's how confident these Lakers are about this playing game. LeBron was out with Drake partying. That's how confident these Lakers are.
See, this is
an easy win for the Lakers.
This is the time of year that your enthusiasm for LeBron James and his excellence continues to heighten. Look at you. You're like, LeBron's back. AD's back. You don't care if they're in the seventh seed.
This is not even going to be close. And then the Suns series, that's not going to be close either. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have to pick the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals on camera, even though you've been disrespecting the purple and gold and LeBron James all season long. I can't wait. I see how it's going to play out, Mr. Rose. I see it. And while I am keyed on the Lakers, nothing matters more. The Nets can have Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, and it does not matter because the New York Knicks are the team of New York City. You're watching Jalen Jacoby. Stay tuned. Coming to you from the Seaport District here in New York City and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen. On Saturday, the Brooklyn Nets have a playoff game against the Celtics. However, New York City does not care because on Sunday, it is the New York Knicks who will take the floor against the Hawks in the 4-5 matchup, and the game will be here in Madison Square Garden. And Jalen, you know I'm a die-easy fan. I jump on and off bandwagons, but I am fully, fully on the New York Knicks bandwagon. See me and Spike right there? Like, I am for this Knickerbocker team until they get down two games in this series. Jalen, what do you expect to see from the Knicks and Hawks on Sunday?
I gotta tell you a secret. You're my GPS to New York City and places to go watch sporting events.
Yep,
and
I got you.
And when you move, I hit up your old bars. And I gotta tell you a secret. You was out with the family the last couple of weekends, and I hit up a couple of your old spots, and I went into your old spots. They were watching the replay of the Knick game while the Nets were on live.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let me say that again. They were watching the replay of the Knick game while the Nets were on live. And I actually had the nerve to ask for somebody to change the channel. Oh my God, I saw a different side of all of these people I've been tipping my hard-earned money to. They treated me so different. And so you're exactly right.
You feel it when you're here. New York City cares so much more about the Knicks than the Nets. It is palpable. The Nets have two former MVPs and Kyrie Irving, one of the most dazzling people to ever hold a basketball. And no one cares whatsoever because the Knicks are hosting a game one in Madison Square Garden. I cannot wait for that. But they are not the best basketball show in New York City. That is our girl, Sabrina Ionescu, for the Liberty, had the first triple-double in the history of the franchise. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. What do you think about Sabrina showing out against the Lynx?
And that's always my job to go deeper into the box score, right? The rookie, Laney, is also balling. Mm. And remember, she was the one the night of the WNBA draft whose grandma went viral celebrating her draft pick.
That's
so
right.
Them two playing together, she now has somebody to feed. Ionescu is a scorer. And while we talking about Julius Randle and how much he should run for governor, she keeps this up. They should be a ticket. They now become a ticket. And how about that? They become a ticket and no member of the Nets need to be on it. They can have the New Yorker cover and remove the Nets and not mention our girl Sabrina. But for people that work in New York and live in New York, It's about Sabrina and the New York Knickerbockers.
And you're going to charge $1,000 to sit in the nosebleeds of Madison Square Garden? I'm not taking my kids to that. I'm taking my kids to see Sabrina. We're going to Barclays, and we're watching the Liberty, because I ain't paying $1,000 to watch the Nets win, the Knicks win a playoff game. Big shout to Sabrina. We look forward to supporting her for the rest of the season. That is her game winner in the previous game, and then she went out and had a triple-double. She's had an amazing start to the
Mama
season.
Mentality.
Excited about her. Jalen, the NFL schedules came out last week. So now this week, we have the betting odds for all the games. And most notably, the Kansas City Chiefs are favorites in 16 of the 17 games this season. What is
They're
your reaction to that?
They lost the Super Bowl. And Patrick Mahomes was injured. He needed off-season surgery. And they're still playing in fast forward. Do they still have Mahomes?
Yes.
Do they still have the Cheetah?
Yes.
Do they still have Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Is Andy Reid still on the sideline?
Yes.
Okay, got it. So I am not surprised that the Kansas City Chiefs are favored. They should be. Do you think they could go undefeated is my question.
It's so hard to go undefeated in an NFL season that it's only happened a couple times, so they will not go undefeated. That's unrealistic expectations, but they're going to win 14 games of 17, 15 games of 17, and they are my pick to win the Super Bowl. But more importantly, Jalen Rose, you know what? I need to apologize to you and to the city of Detroit and to Lions fans, because I said that the Lions would not be favored in a single game this entire season.
I told you I was wrong.
I was wrong.
I told you that.
Because they're a pick'em against the Eagles. So they're favored to lose every single game except against the Eagles. They said it was a pick'em. So I apologize. I just want to say I apologize to all Lions fans, because week 8 is a pick'em, but they are expected to lose every single other game on the calendar. Every game, Jalen.
You know how do you feel about your Lions? Learned during the pandemic?
What'd you learn?
How everybody needed to create backgrounds. Well, we've been doing this for 10 years. So we set the mood, we set the culture, we are the standard, right? And the one thing I noticed is that people that look like you, they have a couple of people behind them, right? They might have MJ, they might have the late, great Kobe Bryant, right? But I noticed something. I'm the only person that I've ever seen with a Detroit Lions helmet. It could be former players, it could be Detroit natives, it could be whoever. I'm the only person that I've ever seen with a Lions helmet. And I'm telling you right now, bet the over. Take the over. Don't listen to Jacoby. My Lions is going to win at least 5.5 games this year, even though we only favorite in, I guess, a half a game, a pick'em against the Eagles.
They're not favored to win a single game. Awesome. Jalen, Tony La Russa is the manager of the White Sox. One of his players, Mercedes, hit a home run on an 0-3 count. Okay, a 3-0 count, which you're not supposed to do, especially late in the game when you're ahead by 11 runs. Fair. However, then the next night he was thrown at, and La Russa didn't exactly stand up for his player that was thrown at. Do you think his sort of old school philosophy has lost the locker room?
Jacoby, baseball continues to do the opposite of basketball. Basketball tries to make the game hip and cool and makes adjustments like play-ins. And baseball gets more archaic with these unwritten rules. So let me get this right. You have a rookie that's setting the league on fire, that's hitting mid-300s, and all of a sudden you're going to reprimand him publicly for hitting a home run on a 3-0 pitch. Number one. And then number two, not defend him when he gets thrown at, and then reprimand him and say that you're going to deal with him internally. Like, I just don't like this overtone. So I agree with you. That's how you lose your players, in particular a young, talented guy like this.
Jalen, the head coach of Los Angeles Clippers said, "We weren't tanking to avoid the Lakers. We weren't tanking to avoid the Lakers.
We
will discuss Ty Lue's claims right after this short break. Make sure you stay tuned for that. You're watching Jalen and
Jacoby. Nobody move. Nobody gets hurt."
The Western Conference play-in games are tonight on ESPN with the appetizer, the Spurs and the Grizzlies at 7:30, and then the main course at 10 p.m. Steph and the Warriors take on LeBron and the Lakers in the 7-8 play-in matchup. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Ty Lue, the head coach of the Clippers, said, you know what? We were not tanking those last couple games to avoid the Lakers side of the bracket. We were just resting our guys to keep them healthy. What do you think about the head coach of the Clippers' comments?
Okay, so we know Kawhi and Paul George low manage. We know Patrick Beverley and Serge Ibaka have dealt with injury.
Yep.
But a constant this year has been Zubac. He's played in every game this season. In the final game of the year, they're playing against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that is not trying to win. How many minutes did he play against the Thunder, and what did he do to start that game, Jacoby?
Oh, he played 0 minutes. He started the game, and in 6 seconds, intentionally fouled someone from the Thunder so he could go out, so he could maintain the fact that he played every game this season.
Facts speak for themselves. So I'm actually not mad at you and the Clippers, T. Lou. You weren't there when they got bounced by the Nuggets last year, and we got deprived of our LA Conference Finals. And unless the Utah Jazz upset the apple cart, we'll get them in the Western Conference Final. I don't want to see Kawhi and LeBron in the first or second round. We need to see it on the big stage if it's going to happen.
Well, another team that's trying to keep L.A. from playing L.A. are the Phoenix Suns, whose head coach Monty Williams won Coach of the Year. What do you think about his performance in Phoenix this season?
Well-deserved. You integrate Chris Paul. You make Booker more efficient. You develop Mikal Bridges. Ayton continues to improve. They're a second seed in the Western Conference. He deserved the opportunity to win Coach of the Year. I voted for him. Congratulations.
Jalen, the PGA Championship is on ESPN Thursday and Friday, meaning we are off until Monday at 2 p.m. Enjoy the championship. Enjoy the NBA playoffs.
Rest in peace, Paul Mooney.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Those that see us on TV, they just see us on TV. But the podcast listeners listening right now, those are our people. Those are our people. They chose to watch Jalen and Jacoby. They didn't just happen to be channel surfing and bump into Jalen. So we appreciate you for following us for so many years. Jalen, quick programming note, no shows Thursday and Friday. The PGA Championship is on ESPN, so we will not be having shows. We'll be dark until Monday. And on Monday, the playoffs will be in full swing. Before we get to some of the playoff matchups, a couple things I want to talk to you about. Number one, Monty Williams, Coach of the Year. Did he get your vote?
Monty Williams did get my vote, and it's a well-earned one. And sophisticated voters, here's how that works. The Phoenix Suns clearly outplay expectations more than any team in the league.
Yep.
Second on that list are the New York Knickerbockers. Neither one of those squads made the playoffs last year. Not only do the Suns play in a tougher conference, the West, they also finish with a better record than the Knicks. Without an MVP candidate, in theory. Yes, Chris Paul on my ballot was fourth, but I believe on many people's ballots, they'll have Julius Randle ahead of him. So this is a chance to recognize the greatness of the Phoenix Suns by A, acknowledging the player development of Bridges and Ayton and the implementation of CP3 to play alongside Booker. The reward is Monty Williams is Coach of the Year. And yes, he got my vote.
Tibbs would have got my vote. But I am curious. I am curious how the process went for you Monday night. Were you able to log in okay? Did you get your votes in on time? How'd it go?
Michelle will tell you this. I was doing this so long that I was falling asleep. True story. Like, I probably was doing this, man, like 3 hours. Real spill.
That all NBA third team is not easy. Yeah, all I need, man. 13, not easy. Some people are going to get left out. There's not enough chairs for everybody. Not enough seats at the table. Not everybody can sit.
And you're doing things that go deeper into the box score, like picking all defensive teams.
Yep.
Picking more than one rookie team.
Interesting.
So now you're talking about rookie 6 through 10.
No one talks about rookie 6 through 10. And let me just tell you something. Nobody talks about rookie 6 through 10. It's like Precious and Shua.
Or, right.
<you're> saying,
right. Right. You're going way deep. And
did,
so,
did Poku make it? Did Poku make it?
I don't remember. I sent them to Demetrius. I don't remember what I picked, man. I'm delirious. But I'll tell you, I think my MVP list ended up being the Joker number one, Embiid, who then set the curve for injuries to me at around 50 to 52. So for me, if you didn't play as many games as Embiid, you didn't make my All-NBA, because Embiid already barely made the cut because he missed 30% of the games.
Yeah, you were talking about MVP. So you had Joker, Embiid. I imagine Steph third.
Steph Curry third with a historic offensive season and leading the league in scoring. CP3 fourth.
Tell me you went Giannis five.
And I went Giannis five.
No Randall. That's fair. It's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with the year that Giannis had. Just no one wants to talk about it because he's done it three times in a row.
And so this is how the game works, though, if you're a sophisticated voter. Randall deserves to get rewarded this year. He now gets most improved.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
That's why, seriously, like, this voting process, like, I hope people take it as serious as I do, which I believe that they do. But that's why I also like the voters to have a history, because there's a sophistication that goes with it. And I just gave you a nuance. Yeah, Julius Randle didn't make my top five, and I'm not going to force him into my top five either. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To reward a New York Knickerbocker because Tibbs wasn't coach of the year, because Derrick Rose won't be sixth man of the year. So now you reward Julius Randle by giving him most improved.
Who do you have for sixth man, Clarkson?
And the same thing for the Utah Jazz. Quinn Snyder isn't up for, didn't win coach of the year. Spider Mitchell and Rudy Gobert aren't in the MVP conversation. How do you reward the Utah Jazz and being the best record in the Western Conference? Jordan Clarkson, a 20-point scorer, is your sixth man of the year.
How'd you do All-NBA? Do you remember? Do you remember? I love the idea that you were falling asleep. You're on the phone with Michelle, like you're on speaker with Michelle.
Yeah.
And you can't log in, so she logs in for you. So she's actually on the ones and twos. And you're in a different city from Michelle,
correct,
too. I love this so much.
Yes, she's Reg DeLedge when I'm doing this. Here's why. Because you can't press send and make a mistake. Like, each year, somebody picks somebody to win MVP and then leave them off the All-NBA team.
Uh-huh.
Like, that kind of stuff happens. It takes 3 hours. When the last time you sent a long email and didn't reread it? Now you gotta reread it over and over again.
Always reread it.
You see what I mean? And so that's what has to happen with the ballot. You gotta keep going over and over it. And so I believe my All-NBA ended up being first team. Let me look, because I don't want to get it wrong.
Yo, you know what I love, Jalen?
What's that?
Demetrius just texted me what you texted him, which is completely, just very incomplete. But here's what you have for your second team All-Rookie. All that matters is Facundo Campazzo made the list. That makes me so happy. You know you would not put him on there if I wasn't screaming his name for the past 2 months. And dude is like 35. He got kids. You know what I mean? He's been playing pro basketball for like longer than your entire career. Like, he's getting all second team rookie. Good for Facundo Campazzo.
Well, he got more minutes when Murray went out. On a team that maintained itself in the West.
You got Jayshon Tate, Sadiq Bey, Facundo Campazzo, James Wiseman, Cole Anthony for your second team rookies. Pretty good.
Yep, I'm proud of that.
I mean, you did put Isaiah Stewart as your first team all rookie. That leans a little Detroit for my taste.
No, up front, who else you got up front that's played more games, got more boards, and got more blocks?
Precious got hurt. He don't really count. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it takes so long. Like, for real. Like, I'm looking at, like, teams with the 29th, 30th worst records trying to find, like, rookie of the year candidates. And first and second team.
So what happens when you're doing it, when you're filling this out with Michelle? She's in Chicago. You're in Detroit. You're on the phone. You fall asleep. How does she wake you up to finish it?
I mean, not literally, but I'm just tired. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I was just tired, man. It just took so long. And then like, you go through it, and then you're like, oh, man, I forgot about such and such. And then now you got to do the whole
redo
team
it.
Again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about what we always say on this team, on this show.
If you do a list,
you're going to forget
somebody. We're going to forget
somebody.
Every single list we've ever done.
That's 30 lists. No, that's 30 lists. You know what I'm saying? The 30 list, first team, second team, all defense, rookie of the year, comeback, most improved MVP, first team, all NBA, second team, all NBA, all defense, first and second team, coach of the year. Like, it's like
executive
20 lists.
Of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I vote for all of the awards. Some people don't vote for every award. I vote for all of the awards.
Well, good for you. Jalen Rose, we got to talk about this a little bit on the TV show, but I want to talk about it in more detail. Ty Lue saying the Clippers were not avoiding the Lakers, that they were just putting health first, that they were not ducking the Lakers. I don't believe it. What do you think?
Here's what we discovered. That the final game of the year, the center that they acquired for the Los Angeles Lakers,
Zubac,
had played every game this year.
Yep.
He started their final game. You remember who they played in their final game?
Clippers played the Oklahoma City Thunder in their final game, sir, on Sunday.
Okay. What'd they do this year?
The Oklahoma City Thunder, I think, lost previous to that game 26 of 27 games. The only win they had was over the Boston Celtics. I think it was in Boston, too. And they weren't even trying to win that one.
Correct. And so in that game, he starts. How many minutes did he play?
Zero minutes.
How many minutes?
Played 6 seconds. 6 seconds okay. In the basketball game.
So how can you explain to the audience how a starting NBA center only plays that amount of time in a game? Can you set the scene of what happened that day?
He intentionally fouled. And they took him out of the game. It was obviously the plan the whole entire time, and he never came back into the game. And they're going to say that they did it because he was healthy. I'm assuming that there's some sort of like escalator in his contract or something, that if he's available the whole, like, to me, it didn't make any sense. Like, if you're not going to play him, just don't play him. Guess what? He was available 71 of 72 games. Who cares? But he wanted to be available for all 72 games. Fine. But I'm assuming there's some sort of financial benefit to him in his deep in his contract that says that if he plays the 72 games, he gets $100,000. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
Correct. And the second thing, while teams advise players to load manage, and by the way, this is like really inside pool. This is something I can say on this show that I can't say on like Countdown or like Get Up or SportsCenter.
We get the podcast exclusive.
NBA teams get the schedule and they map out the games that their players are gonna miss. And just let me tell you something. Who's my favorite team in the history of sports?
Detroit Pistons.
We're one of those teams. I bet if you look back at the 72 games we played this year and the large portion of games we played at home, I guarantee you almost every star player missed a game when we played against them.
I bet it's the Chicago on Tuesday, Pistons on Wednesday, or Pistons on Thursday, Milwaukee on Friday, where they just pick to miss the Pistons game because they can get those wins anyway.
And so now you have a player that says, I appreciate the body analysis, trainer, and I thank you for the analytics of how my body mass continues to hit the ground when I jump X amount of times a game. And thank you for breaking down how fast I change ends of the floor from the first quarter to the fourth quarter.
I appreciate
quarter.
The $500,000 of equipment that we brought in. And then the 2 hours that I spent jumping between cones and on the treadmill with a bunch of stuff taped to me. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. But I want to play tonight. And the Joker did that in the final game against
Trailblazers.
The Detroit Pistons. Their second and final game was against the Pistons. They wanted him to miss that game. He played that game. And he played the final game of the year. And I would love anybody that can hear my voice to tell me of the 72 games that the Detroit Pistons played this year, how many times a notable player from the other team missed a game. That's something that the league can't really fix because the Pistons weren't a part of the play-in. That's something you have to fix as an organization. We made it to where at least 10 teams are relevant now. So 11 through 15, y'all got to get y'all weight up.
Yeah, you do.
And we fell into that category this year.
Well, Jeremy Grant was out for a while where I was like, is Jeremy Grant really hurt or is he just playing too good? That's why he's out. They're like, oh, what'd you have, 25 and 12? Oh, you got to sit down. Oh, yeah, you're hurt. It's like 30 points? No, that ankle's flaring up. Yeah, I guess Isaiah Stewart out there. Dwayne Casey knew exactly what he was doing. Once Jeremy Grant started being out, I was like, let me see. Is he hurt? What's hurt on him? Oh, I got it. He scored 32. Oh, my bad. Yeah, he scored 32for the Pistons.
Here's another piece of paper that you should also look at that goes with your analysis extremely well. How many notable players going to be in this year's draft? So in this year's draft, you want a top five pick. Definitely a top four pick. You really need a top four pick this year. If you fall to six, you're not going to be as enthusiastic.
But you got Davion Mitchell sitting there as like the sixth best prospect. You know, we saw what he could do for Baylor. You know, there's players out there past top five, but there's five like studs. Five guys are coming into the league with expectations of changing franchises.
If you draft somebody in the top three, you need that person to be all NBA. You need that person to be all NBA.
Well, let's do some math. There's three players every year. There's 15 all NBA spots. So not always going to be all NBA, those top three picks.
Not the first year that you get them, Jacoby. You don't need them to come in and be Grant Hill as a rookie, but on your rookie deal, if I take you number one, I need you to come in and be like Zion. Like, show me that you that good. Show me that you that deal. I need you to be LaMelo. At least come in and show me you that deal. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to be Markelle Fultz. That's a killer.
Yeah.
It's just a killer. It really
is. Anthony Bennett comes to mind. Poor Markelle Fultz. Man, that was too bad. The Magic invested in him. He was playing well. And he got hurt again. What are we sipping on? Milk? What do we got there, Jay?
All I know is 100% of those conversations used to mention Kwame Brown, but from now on, only like 10% of them will.
No, I'm not saying Kwame Brown's name. I'm not. Yo, I would love it if Kwame Brown turned up on me. If I got an hour long of Kwame Brown just sunning me on the internet, I would watch it 15 times in a row. I would be so happy to get dissed by Kwame Brown. Shout out to Kwame Brown. I hope Anthony Bennett does an hour about me on the internet. Markel Fultz is coming for you, dog. Markel Fultz is coming for you, Jalen Rose. He's hurt, man. Why are you? Why? Okay, Mr. Rose. There's a couple
things.
Well,
with the Kwame Brown talk, I'm going
to
be on the right side of history of that one. I'm seeing the clip starting to circulate. That's all I'll say. I see the clip starting to circulate. My analysis is going to age well, like fine wine.
As it always does. However, 60 Minutes on Sunday. 60 Minutes is unlike this program. It's a serious journalistic program. They do research. They fact check. They are journalists. They had two pilots on the show. One was a lieutenant. I think they're both lieutenants, whatever. They're Navy pilots. They're two separate airplanes, and they each have a weapons person behind them. So there's four human beings that work for the government flying on a boat off the coast of San Diego. Okay? The boat has been picking up mysterious sort of like objects on radar. Okay? I think this is 2004, November. I could be wrong about that. I'm just saying stuff. Mysterious objects on radar. They send two planes out to go explore, okay? They go explore. They fly over. They don't see anything there. However, there's a lot of, like, whitewash in the water, a disturbance in the water in the middle of a calm sea. So they go check out the disturbance. Floating above the disturbance, Mr. Rose, is a floating object that is shaped like a tic-tac, you know, like a tic-tac candy, shaped like a tic-tac, with no wings, no exhaust, no propulsion system.
No wings.
It's just floating
no
there. No okay. propellers, no propulsion system, just floating there, messing up the water. So then one of the fighter pilots, again, I this is from his mouth into a microphone in front of a camera. This is not a crazy person. This is a fighter pilot for the military. He goes to explore this object. He circles it. As he's pulling up to it, the object then starts to mimic his movements and circles itself. Then as he gets close, the object, boop, disappears. Pops up on radar 60 miles away a second later.
That's crazy.
Mr. Rose, they've got video of this object. There's video of the object. When they went to go find it 60 miles later, they went and found it and took video of it. So now Mr. Rose, as someone who has long denied UFOs, aliens' presence in our atmosphere, and all of that, what do you say to this story?
I need to see the footage.
Dog, you've seen the footage. Right? We've put the footage on the show like six times. You've seen the footage.
It's grainy. It looked like my highlights from the 80s. Like, you can't really see.
It's
you know, the camera
white.
Angle ain't good. You know, somebody's holding a tripod. People walk past
footage. We do need better footage. Like, the aliens got a really bad PR campaign. Like, y'all need to take some headshots. We need to get some high-quality cameras. We need to get good lighting. Like, get one of those ring lights all the TikTok stars got. Like, how come the TikTok star got better lighting than the aliens? Come on, aliens.
Exactly.
Y'all need to take your production value up.
And, by the way, like, I respect science and STEM. You know, I'm a founder of a school. I just would like to see what you just said happen actually occur. Get better footage.
Get better footage. If there's a TikTok floating, it's the size of a plane, point your phone at it and take a picture.
Right. Like that's all I'm saying.
Portrait mode.
And here's
go to portrait mode, Doug.
Here's portrait mode. And here's another thing. I've been saying this about NBA games forever. Shout to all of the cameramen and women and the people who have done an amazing job of capturing the NBA since its inception. Capturing sports. Like, I really appreciate and value you guys' job. Like, my uncle used to have a camera and take a lot of pictures and do that stuff. And you know my brother Kev.
Yeah, your brother does.
Does the exact same thing, right? So I appreciate the craft and all of that. But if those cameras are so potent, why y'all gotta sit right underneath the backboard on the baseline?
Oh, that's gone.
When guys drive to the basket and falling over the cameramen.
Can't they
back up?
That ain't happening.
And the cameras have a little zoom on them?
So that
6'11 players that is running as fast as they can won't be falling over them four times
stop.
A game?
Yeah, yeah. And that's over. That's over. That's over. It is also wild to me how NBA is kind of like the only sport where it's like, yeah, you can just sit right there. You know what I mean? Like, they got a big fence in football. In hockey, there's a glass wall that goes up like 40 feet into the air. Baseball, you can't even get near people. But basketball, it's like, oh, no, you sit right there. Go ahead, trip a referee. No, you'll be right there. So, like, no rope between us, no wall between us. No, you go right there. Courtside. Here you go. Man, until you sit courtside, you don't realize just how good these guys are at basketball. Jalen, you're really good at basketball. I don't know
Thank
about
you,
anymore,
sir.
But you were really good at basketball.
Played once or twice. And
really good at basketball.
And Kwambi reminded me of how everybody like David Jacoby taught me could be a hero in their own movie.
Yep.
Cause I heard his plus 48 stats compared to KG's. I heard him.
Yeah.
I heard
Everyone's
him.
A hero in their own movie. I can twist any numbers to tell any story I want. I can score 2 points in a rec league basketball game and be like, listen, I'm 100% from the left block. You know what I mean? Like, I should 1,000% when you give me the ball on my left block.
All Shout I know is my Brown. Russell Westbrook and my Kwame Brown commentary is going to age gracefully, and I'm happy about it.
Listen, if you don't toot your own horn, there's not going to be any music.
Hey, there's something to be said about validation and representation in the marketplace. It's not for sale. It is not for sale.
Well, Pat Gunther, shout to Project Pat, just sent us the clip of us retiring the word bust. So, we'll see if you post
that. How about that?
Oh, no.
Does it have a date on it?
3 years ago, it says.
Great. Thank you, Project Pat, because...
February of 2018, over 3 years ago.
Because you know what makes me happy is that we're not discussing doing it right now because it's in the media cycle. We're ahead of the curve. The only one we missed on is we said Washington football team for 10 years and then they called themselves that and we never retired the number. We never retired the term.
Well, all I know is that in this clip, you're wearing a suit vest and like suit pants. And I'm used to really care about this show. You know what I mean? You used to dress up. You got your hair cut for the show. Like now you just like, when you just grab something and leave the house, that's how you get down now. You just grab something and leave the house. All winter you had those $3 Detroit, $3 Detroit ski caps.
My hair was messed up. You know what was happening. My hair was falling out. What are you talking about? Look at all of the people. When y'all get a chance, I want y'all to remember something when y'all talk about Jalen Rose hair. I'm damn near 50. When you
people
get a chance, look at all of the people that's my age and what they're doing with their hair, okay? There's a reason why certain people are bald. You think somebody want to be 25 and bald? That's not on purpose. You know what I'm saying? I saw Tom Thibodeau standing on the sideline the other day. You know what I mean?
He holding on. Tom's holding on. He's holding on. He's where he's
got
that hair work.
Hold on to your love. You got to hold on.
He got like 7 strands of hair. They're working overtime. They have conversations like this dude. He's running us like Julius Randle. You know what I mean? He's like, got me working harder than RJ Barrett and Julius Randle.
How about this?
He gets the most out of all of his assets, Tom Thibodeau does. He's like, I got 4 strands of hair. You know what?
Alec
I'm
going to
make a hairstyle out of this. He gets the most out of the assets that you give him, dog. Give him the Knicks roster. Boom. Over 500. 4 seed.
Oh, you want assets? I got assets for you. Doc Rivers doesn't have hair, and he has a hairline.
I've asked you straight up, off wax and on wax, what is happening there, and you can't explain it either.
I don't know. His hair fell out, but it's burning. The hairline didn't.
It's still there. I don't understand it.
He lost everything but the front.
I went to the barber and I was like, yo, can you remove like 90% of my hair, but still make it seem like I've got hair? Like, it looks like at Central Park when they like reseed the grass around this time of year. That's what it looks like. Like, it's like the grass is growing in. There's still a fence around it. Like, nah, you can't go on this part. It's growing in. Poor Doc Rivers. Man, I hope we get dissed a lot for this podcast. I hope a lot of people give us the Kwame Brown treatment for this one. I'm sorry, Doc Rivers. So, Jalen Rose, something we didn't talk about in the show, we got to talk about on the pod. There's pictures of LeBron James with a drink in his hand. Big hands. It's a tiny looking little drink. Partying with none other than Drake. Now, mind you, these pictures were taken last night, I believe. And he got a play-in game tonight against Steph Curry. Jalen Anthony Rose, I'm not saying he's the first basketball player to ever have a beverage the day before a game, but how are you going to be out in the streets, in the panty, with Drake? So I don't know what they're from last night. I think they're from last night. The internet seems to think they're from last night, but continue.
Let me show you how this works. As an NBA player that played 50% of the games on the road, that means you play the other half at home.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to being out the night before the game. This idea that everybody's sitting in their room at 7 o'clock
and
ordering
film.
Room server, that's just
film.
Not realistic. No one is doing that. No one is doing that. Kobe's the only person that was doing that.
I like that the NBAPA signed a contract that was like, yeah, these protocols work. Yeah, you can't go to restaurants. You can't leave the room. You can only leave the room for an hour. Like the NBAPA was like, yeah, we'll sign that. No problem. We'll get all the players. They won't leave the rooms.
Uh-huh. You know how you become the remix to Michael Jordan? The late, great Kobe Bryant is the only person that was doing that, dog. Seriously, everybody else, once you touch down, it depends on what time you get there. If it's after a game and it's a back-to-back, you're hitting the streets after 12, 1 a.m. If it's a travel day, you get into the city around 4. That's like, you're going to shopping. Like, that's a whole day for an NBA player to have an afternoon. If you're playing at home, you ain't necessarily having dinner at the house with the fam every night, especially if Drake wanna go break bread. So here's the difference. Here's the difference. If tomorrow you play against the Golden State Warriors and they have Steph, Draymond, and KD, then you go to bed the night before. That's how it works. But since they don't have KD, you champagne and campaign with Drake, and you post a picture. See, don't forget that part.
He wasn't shying away from the cameras. You know, he didn't need to be. He doesn't need to be like out in Front Street. He's posing.
Correct.
Like, it's not candid from like someone in the bushes. Like, he is like posing for these pictures. Big shout to him. And also, before we wind down this
Living
pod, last
best
pod of the
life.
Week, we have to acknowledge Paul Mooney, comedy legend, passed away. R.I.P. Paul Mooney. We will be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Rest in peace, Paul Mooney. He was one of those people, Jacoby, that as a comedy fan, and I can't wait till we do our brackets, there was an undercurrent of people, Bernie Mac fell into this category as well, that took pride in entertaining our people and being a voice for our people and a symbol of strength, even if it cost him mainstream opportunities. He didn't necessarily get the TV shows or the big time movie features because of this reason. He's always been one of my favorites. And for those that don't know, a terrific writer also. Wrote for some of your all-time favorite comedians. Rest in peace, Paul Mooney. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.
Can you give me that denim jacket out of there, please? Mike.